Something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina Mara. I'm being slagged here by Paul McKenna. Honestly, Paul, I have used a phone before. We're trying to figure out dialing codes and everything to London. How are you doing?
Well, we got there in the end.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm a fairly optimistic person. And like anyone, you know, the last couple of years, at times I felt anxious or a bit down and up. Overall, I'm in good shape, thanks. And you?
Not too bad, actually. Considering that we never thought 2 years in, we'd kind of be in the same boat we were in like 2 years ago. But because I remember you came on the show, you were talking about your book at the time, which was about, getting healthier, quitting smoking, all these kind of things to make our lives a bit more positive. And you were going on tour and then the pandemic just hit us. I think it was actually the week that you were on. Everything kind of shut down. But you've kept busy and you've done yet another book. And of course, Paul McKenna, I mean, the name's so well known for changing people's mindset. 15 million books, is that what we're at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I write them and people buy them. I mean, I just do my best. You know, I only write about things I know about. And I also ask myself, what do people need right now? So this new book is called Positivity, Confidence, Resilience, Motivation. Because it seems to me over the last couple of years, people have become anxious and understandably, by the way, because there's a deadly pandemic sweeping the world. And as well as a biological one, there's a psychological one. And so I want to help them reduce their anxiety and fear. Because if you are all day thinking, cracky, what if about my health? What about the economy? All your bandwidth is taken up with fear-based survival thoughts. And there's no room for confidence and joy and optimism and creativity, etc. But then there's another category of people who are really normally quite motivated, you know, who are go-getters. But because there's no end point or the end point keeps moving and there's so many variables, people just get frustrated. They can't make plans and so they kind of give up and they get into this sort of demotivated state. So this book is about, you know, increasing your confidence and self-belief, increasing your resilience, which is not just about bouncing back. It's about adaptability, not just surviving, thriving. And then also your motivation to go for what it is you want. Yeah. Get up in the morning and feel full of dynamic energy. So it's a book. I'm also coming to Dublin on the 20th of March. And I'm going to do it as just a one-off event, a 90-minute, it's like a personal coaching session with me. There's just hundreds of other people there. So I start by saying, you know, who here needs some confidence? So somebody will come up and they'll say, oh, I'm scared. And I do a technique on them, bam. 10 minutes later, they go, wow, I feel fantastic. I then turn and I do it on the entire audience. It's almost a bit like an evangelist rally, but without the religion. Okay. So it's another healing. And I do that, you know, throughout the evening.
Okay. Because, Paul, I think during the pandemic, it's been such an eye-opening time for so many people. And they've made changes in their lives or they've realised, I want to make changes in my life, whether it is, you know, quitting their job to go and work for themselves, which can be particularly scary at any time, never mind during the pandemic. A lot of people moving house, so they're moving from the big city to go live in the country because they always wanted to. And now with remote working, they might have the option to do that. There's change happening everywhere, isn't there? It's just kind of having the confidence to do it as well, if that's what you really want.
Well, indeed, you're absolutely right, Trina. People have been able to step back and ask themselves, what's really important to me? Only 9% of people want the world to go back to exactly how it was pre-pandemic, because, you know, many people have had time to spend with their families to pursue things they wouldn't have normally, you know, hobbies or interests, even things like reading, exercise, meditation, etc. But you are right that people also are going, crikey, the world's changed. Ooh. And so that's where resilience comes in, because resilience, often people think about it as sort of toughing it out, bouncing back. And it is those things, but it's also adaptability. There's an area of science called cybernetics. And from cybernetics, we know something called the law of requisite variety, which is the part of a system that is the most flexible will always end up in control of that system, be it a family, be it a corporation or a political party. So if you get knocked down 7 times, you've got to get back up 8. And so one of the things I help people do is think outside their problems. And so they find it easier to find solutions. Better way to put this is, if you can continually adapt to your environment, you end up as master of your own destiny. So the world's going to go through a massive change, even continue to, for the next few years. And as long as you can be adaptive in your thinking and behaviour, you won't just survive, you'll thrive.
Do you think that people are right to make these jumps and make these really life-changing decisions during this time? Or would you be of the mindset that you just need to get through this and wait until you make big life decisions? Because there are people who will leave the job or will move county or will move country even, and it won't work out for them.
Yeah. Well, it's a great question. And I'd say the answer, sound like a politician now, is a bit of both. Because for some people, their strategy is they kind of wait until everything feels safe and then they make a move. And I understand that. But because the world is going through such a state of change, it's not always possible to wait until everything feels perfect. Sometimes you have to take a risk. But I would say only ever take an educated, calculated risk. I remember Anita Roddick, the founder of The Body Shop, brilliant woman. She once told me that. She thought that was one of the keys to successful business was educated, calculated risk taking. And so I put something in the book, a really neat little technique where you can upside downside your problems. This is something Richard Branson does before he makes a business decision. He's a professional risk taker, if you like. He does this process and it only takes a few minutes, but after you practice it, you get better at making decisions. I'll give you an example. Say, for example, someone says, leave your job and let's start a business. Now, you look at that and you go, hang on, it could be a success. So the upside is 10, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, but it might fail. In fact, the chances of failing are fairly strong. So the downside is 10. When you have an upside downside that are pretty much the same, step back, don't do anything and reevaluate this opportunity. Now, if your decision is, do I ask this person out on a date because you quite like them? Well, the upside is they might say yes, you might have a fabulous relationship, it's a 10 out of 10. The downside is they might say no, and you'll be a little upset, you'll feel rejected for a day or two, whatever. So the downside is a 3. So when you have a low downside and a high upside, take massive action, right? Mm. But when you've got the numbers fairly similar, don't step back and reevaluate.
It's easy to say, and I don't mean to be disrespectful in any way, but it's easy to say, you know, when you're a best-selling author like yourself, Paul, and money, I assume, isn't a problem to tell other people, oh, leave the job or whatever. But what you're saying is calculated risk, calculated. So be very careful before you do these things as well. Because you made that jump yourself as well. You lived in LA, didn't you? And you moved back as well.
Well, I did. And, you know, Trina, it's a very fair question what you just put, you know, which is people go, oh, it's easy for you, you know. You know, easy for you, you're successful or whatever. I go, no, hang on. I'm trying to tell you how I got successful. And I've studied super successful people. I've made it an area of study for about 20 years now. I'm saying this is how they do it. So if you want some of that as well, you have to think outside your regular mindset. But I'm not suggesting anyone takes some ridiculous risks. In fact, quite the opposite. I lived in Los Angeles for 10 years. And, you know, when I first arrived, I moved house, job and country in about 2 weeks. And one night I woke up about 4 a.m. and had a panic attack. And I went, what if it all collapses? What if it all doesn't work out? And, you know, frankly, if I hadn't had a bit of a panic, moving house, job and country in 2 weeks, there would have been something wrong. And so what I'm saying is there are ways to organize your thinking, which affect your behavior, and ultimately the results you get in the world. I don't talk or write about things I don't know about, and also have tested thoroughly time and time and time and time and time again. With this, you know, new book and the tour, the material there has been tested on thousands and thousands of people over the last 2 years. So I know that it's rock solid, based in science, and not everything I do works for everybody every single time. But what I do, we know this, what I do works for most people most of the time.
Paul, does the book deal with things like relationships? Because I read somewhere that in January, one of the most Googled words is divorce. January this year, people are wanting out. So do you deal with that at all?
No, it doesn't. My previous book, The 7 Things That Make or Break a Relationship, absolutely deals with that. And, you know, you're right that it was the most Googled word or one of the most Googled words. Because when you put people in a confined space, it amplifies everything. So if you're with somebody who you find attractive and you're in a confined space, well, that's a good thing, you know, because it amplifies that. But when you are in a confined space with somebody, you may love them, but they do things that annoy you, whatever, you know, and also you're anxious. Suddenly the bread's been put in the wrong cupboard, becomes a big deal. And so what I do in that, it's another book, The 7 Things, is I show people how to do conflict resolution and how not to fire off the sort of normal triggers that you know, wind your partner up so that you have a more peaceful time.
You like the putting the empty milk carton back into the fridge. Yes, I'm not directing this as anybody in particular in my household, of course. But this happens everywhere, doesn't it? You think you have milk and you don't. It's all gone.
Oh, yeah.
So when you're doing the actual live show, you mentioned there about, you know, asking people to participate. Do they have to do that, or can they sit quietly in their seat and just take it all in?
Oh, no. They can sit back and watch it. Participation is a choice. Usually there are people who come along specifically because they want me to fix their confidence issue, or they want me to give them motivation. And that's great. And there's other people who want to watch it, and then maybe they'll try it, maybe they won't. The idea is, and it's not heavy, right? I've got a sense of humor, I think. It's not a comedy show as such, but it certainly isn't a lecture. This is an edutainment experience. So say it's like a coaching session, a mass coaching session. And remember, I'm a hypnotist. You're in the room with a hypnotist for 90 minutes. You're going to be different by the end of it. You're going to be much more joyous, much more creative. You'll see opportunities where perhaps you hadn't in your thinking. You'll be able to solve problems, all sorts of stuff. And there's really no effort required by the people who attend. Sit there, join in if you want, you know, sit back and relax if you don't. Afterwards, I spend about an hour doing selfies with everybody and answering questions. So really, I'm a people person. I love getting out and talking to people and meeting people. So you know, it's been tough for me the last couple of years not to be able to do that, which is why I am delighted to be back in one of my favourite cities in March, 20th of March in Dublin and the 22nd in Belfast.
And just to leave off, Paul, you said that mindset can be learned just like any habit. Is there anything you could tell our listeners today, something they could start doing today to change their thinking?
Yeah, here we go. So let's try this as a thought experiment. It'll just take about a minute. Well, I'd like you to just imagine it's a year in the future, 1 year in the future, and you've had a great year. It's actually been really great. Just imagine it has been very good, right? If that's true, what must have happened in regard to your health, mental and physical? If you've had a great year. If you've had a really wonderful year, what must have happened in regard to your relationships, personal and professional? Just think about it. You've had a great year. What must have happened in regard to your career, in regard to your finances, in regard to your general levels of happiness? Wow. Now, step back from that and make a picture of you looking healthy and happy a year from now, and now expand it so it's the size of a cinema screen in your mind. And then make it colorful and solid and bright and float back 3 months and ask yourself, what occurred 3 months before that? Just get an idea. And then 3 months before that, just get an idea. And 3 months before that, just get an idea, all the way back to now. So when you look out along your timeline, you can see you looking healthy, happy, opportunities coming along, you taking those opportunities, you feeling good, enjoying the good times with friends and family, all those things until you, when you look a year in the future, you can see your life way better than it is even now. And that's a little thought experiment that I encourage people to do regularly, because you always get more of what you focus on in life.
So looking at the positive things rather than the negative, things will get better anyway, won't they? They have to get better. They can only get better.
They do, yeah. I mean, this will pass. And as you say, Trina, we know people have been involved in the power of negativity over the last couple of years, because understandably, if you open a newspaper, turn on the TV, you're under attack. The virus, terrorism, the economy. And so people have understandably gone into survival mode, have gone into that way of thinking where they're looking for threats everywhere. I'm saying the opposite of that is positivity. It's not the same as positive thinking. Positive thinking is where you tell yourself everything's going to be okay, even when you know it isn't, right? So positive thinking is where you get into a mindset of confidence, resilience, and motivation.
Paul, nice catching up, and we will see you in Dublin in March.
Great. See you then, Trina. Thanks so much.
Paul McKenna there. He is going to be at the Alex Hotel in Dublin on the 20th of March with his Positivity Tour. And the book is called Positivity, Confidence, Resilience and Motivation. Paul McKenna on the front of that book as well. You can't miss it. It is something for the weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.